morning, church family. Amen. The song said, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Amen. Anybody here willing to pray with God today? Amen. Oh, come on. We can do better than that. I ain't say pray with the church or with Pastor Robinson or with the choir. I said with God. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now today to say thank you, Master, for yet again, this is another opportunity, Master, that we have to sit in your presence. And Master, there is no better place to be than to be in your presence. And for when we're in your presence, we learn just how weak we are. We learn what our shortcomings are. We learn where we need to improve and what we need to be better in and how we need to do some things better. For Master, that's the very purpose for us coming. If we don't come to learn from you, then we're coming for the wrong reasons. If we don't come to get your understanding, we're coming for the wrong reasons. If we don't come to get your loving, we have come for the wrong reasons. Master, we pray that while we're here, we understand that that we learn to understand that we need you and nobody else but you. It is you who can give us everything we need to be able to do the things that we need to do in this earth. So we ask that while we sit in your presence, open up our eyes, open up our ears, Master, and most of all, open our hearts to receive of you. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 540. God's going to trouble the water. Amen. Amen. That means somebody's going to receive a healing. Amen. In the Bible, when God troubled the water for the lame man, and he said, I have no man to put me in, God told him to go ahead and pick up his bed and walk. Amen. Anybody here want God to trouble their waters? Oh, come on. We can do better than that. Amen. 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 I need God to work a miracle for me. Amen. No matter how good my life is, there's still something I can do better. Amen. 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 And before we do the pastoral prayer, we're going to do a little rearranging this morning. We're going to ask that the officer to go ahead and come for the purpose of tithing and offering, after which I will ask that you guys come to the altar for altar prayer this morning. Amen. Amen. So we ask that now that our officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering.
No matter how you try.
Our Our Master, our God, our Creator, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And Master, we pray that your anointing fall upon them so they can be more than what they are, so that they can reach those who are near and those who are far, so that we can change their life, so that they can feel your presence and feel you. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart sing amen. That everyone, you can stay in your places. And we're going to ask that everyone, if you would, make your way to the altar. And when you get to the altar, please join hands. The Bible says that man should always pray and never cease praying. There's nothing like praying as a group of Christians, holding hands, believing in the same God, asking that same God to help us through our trials, our tribulations, our ups, our downs, our struggles. That same God who was there 2,000 years ago is still here today. That same God will hear our every cry. So as I pray aloud, I ask that you pray silently. For you know what you need God to move in your life for. Let us bow. Our Heavenly Father, our ruler, our creator, the one who loves us despite all of our shortcomings, the one who knows what he has purposed in our lives. In your word, you said not only do you have purpose in our life, but you have good things for us in our lives. And we come to you this morning, Master, to say thank you. As a church family, as a collective of Christians who believe in you, who are joined together, realizing that you said in your word to forsake not the solemn assembly. For in this assembly, Lord God, we know resides your Holy Spirit. And it is your Holy Spirit that gives us power to go out into a world that's dying and give that dying world life. We know that we cannot do this without you, but we know that with you we can do all things. Not only give life to a world that's dying, but give life to dead situations in our own lives. For Master, we come to this altar today, each and every last one of us. We all have problems. We all have shortcomings. We all have needs. But Master, we know that you can meet everything that we need you to meet. So we come to this altar today humble with our heads bowed and our eyes open, our ears open, and our hearts ready to receive from you what we need to make us better. Master, we can't do this thing without you, but with you we know that we can. And Master, we can't see down the road, but we know that you can. And Master, you are the beginning. You are the everlasting God. which means you have no ending, which means you know everything about us and everything that we will face. And we ask now, Master, because we have something that's coming down the road that we must face. We may have to face it as individuals. We may have to face it as a group. But Master, we know that evil has been released in this land. But we know with you, Master, with your covering, we know that we can walk through this land powerful. We can walk through this land mighty. We can walk through this land with strength. We can hold up our heads, Master, because we are not, Lord God, what they think we are. But what we know that we are your children. And we know that you will protect your children, guide your children, cover your children, keep your children, lead your children. And when we fall, we know that you will lift us up. And we come this morning, Master, surely in need of you. And we ask, Master, as we join hands, that you let your precious Holy Spirit run from heart to heart. That you unite us not only as a church family, but as a people. Master, I think somewhere along this journey, along the way, we have lost our way. But we realize now that it's time for us to pick the torch back up and run with strength. Run with your power. And we know that the things that we face, as you have said in your word, are not natural things. But they are spiritual things, and they are mighty. But one thing we know, there's nothing stronger than you. There's nothing more mightier than you. There's nothing that has more power than you. So we ask that your power and your might and your strength go with us. As we go through this land, Master, sojourning through our own trials and tribulations. And through our own struggles and our own shortcomings. We ask now, Master, that we all learn to have faith so that you will meet us at our expectations to deliver us from what we're fighting. We ask now for these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. It's in Jesus' name we do now pray. Let every heart say, amen. 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 And shake the hands of someone you didn't come with today. Amen. Give God some praise. Amen. Amen. We ask that the choir would come now while they're returning to their seats. Thank you. Amen. There's nothing like those old songs, amen. For our people were a people who were going through. And some of those songs got us over. And when we analyze the words, we can vision the torment and the horror that our people had to endure. I pray that we never forget those old songs and that we keep them around. Amen. Amen. Because it's bad enough that the government is trying to whitewash our history, trying to remove what actually happened so they can feel better about themselves. Amen. I'm going to try not to stand on too many soapboxes this morning, but I will stand on a couple of them. Amen. Amen. The word today, if you have your Bibles with you, will come from Luke chapter 6. And actually, it's going to come from a couple of places. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. And also Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Once again, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. And then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. And say amen when you get there. Amen. We're at both locations. Amen. Luke chapter 6 says this. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." And 13 says, "And when it was day, he called unto himself," "unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." And then Romans 12, 1 through 6 says this, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another." Amen. Amen. For just a few moments, I would like to take the subject, Jesus was the greatest EDI employer of all times. Let me say that again. My message today is that Jesus was the greatest EDI employer of all times. My proposition to you is you cannot spell church without EDI. Let me say that one more time. You cannot spell church without DEI. And church is not meant to be just for one group of people. God made certain that in his church there were a variety of people. And so my message today is hard for me because I don't care to preach sermons that are spiritual homilies about political fallacies. But as your pastor, I must stand here today to sound the alarm. Because if I don't sound the alarm, then I am in pastoral malfunction, which means I'm not doing my job. If I was a doctor, they would call it malpractice. But as a preacher, we don't practice. we preach. And so I call it malfunction, because if I don't sound the alarm, then your blood is on my hands. According to Ezekiel, if I don't blow the trumpet, then when you die, if you die in your sins, then it's all on me. I don't want to deal with your blood stain. I got enough of my own that I have to deal with. But I don't like preaching these messages, but I must preach this message today because I am concerned. I am concerned about the direction of our nation. I'm concerned about the direction of this country, for she has gotten in bed with the enemy. But that's not the worst part. The worst part is that not only has she gotten in bed with the enemy, but she took the church with her. And let me help you guys understand something, that when God looks at the church, you must realize that the church is his bride. And if a man was to take my wife into his bed without my knowledge or without my consent, there would be a problem. I'm going to make sure that he feels my wrath. Amen? Man, because although your pastor is a nice guy and a good guy, I'm a bulldog when it comes to my wife. I lock on, I'm not going to let go. I said that to say we must be careful, because we have become complicit in the actions of this country. The church has been quiet for way too long. And we understand what the word says, but when it comes to making it actually take place or put it in action, we don't say anything. We sit comfortably in our four walls, and we okay with everything long as it don't affect us. God said it's time out for all of that. It's time for us to become involved. And this man who's in the White House, he won 80%. Listen to this now. 80% of the white evangelicals voted for him. Don't talk about them, because he doubled his number of black votes. So it wasn't just the white evangelicals that got him in office. It was us who also got him in office, which puzzled me, because why would you vote against yourself? Are we that type of people where we're still standing at the Red Sea fussing at Moses when Moses was trying to free us, and when we see just a little bit of trouble, instead of agreeing with Moses and moving forward, we say, Moses, why do you bring us out here to die? We could have died in Egypt. Have we not moved beyond that point? Are we still so fearful that we don't know what's before us? Are we still those people who want to, or shall I say, we've gotten to be okay with living in something that's not normal? Are we okay with it? We must be, because we voted for him. 53% of the white females in this country voted for him. These numbers bother me. They puzzle me, because I hear people talking about them, but then when it comes to putting things in action, what do we do? Huh? As a church family, what did we do? I pray none of you in here voted for him, but I believe some of you did. The numbers bear that out, that somebody in here voted for him. You voted against the betterment of your own people, because he offered you a false security. He's offering this country a false security. You can't ever be a full and powerful nation without everybody being involved. You can't cut people out at your will. You can't do things at your own pleasure. You must answer to a higher power. And I know
we understand how this man works because he's no longer hiding. Let me share this with you. The enemy is no longer hiding. The devil used to be subtle about the way he do things, but now he's a wolf in wolf clothing. We used to say he's a wolf in sheep clothing, but now he's a wolf in wolf clothing. He's telling you what you're going to do, what he's going to do, and we sit back and say, he really don't mean that. This man took the Holy Bible, took the Constitution and put it in the cover of the Holy Bible, sold it to make profit so he can sell it to cover his lawsuit expenses of him sleeping with a porn star while his wife was pregnant with his child. And the church said nothing. We are complicit in his behavior. But I must get you to understand that God intends for there to be DEI. He intends for there to be a diversity of people. God understands that we all need each other, no matter what our color, creed, height, size. We all need each other. You can't make it in this world without somebody else. Huh? We can talk about how smart we are and how grand we are and all the things that we achieved. You got there because someone helped you. We all need each other. We all don't come from the same background. We all don't have the same ideas. But what we can do is work together to make it. Jesus understood this concept. But who we have in the White House does not. This man on national TV promised to bring the dream of Martin Luther King to life on January the 20th. But then with one swipe of his pen on January the 27th, he fired a black woman without even consulting her, without even knowing about what work she had done in her position. He fired her simply because he wanted to fire her. Because he felt that because of the color of her skin, she wouldn't push forth his agenda. He fired her. And the church said, nothing. Another swipe of his pen, he ended the EI programs. That also removes the affirmative action. Church said nothing. Do you not know that with that one swipe of the pen, he has now made it where they're going to remove black history programs from the schools? Do you not know they can fire you now simply because they want to fire you? You have no recourse. Church said nothing. But Jesus is one who believes in DEI. And if our Father and our founder of what we are believes in DEI, then why do we not stand up for it? It's time out for the church for being quiet. This man is trying to change the world to a place where you don't have a say. Now he's fired or looking to fire thousands of FBI agents. We're about to lose checks and balances in government. And what is the church saying? Nothing. We must realize that the DEI is important to our future, is important to our children's future. It's important enough for us to say something. It's important enough for us to get up out of our seats and stop being comfortable. If you truly want a better future for your children, you better start speaking up. You better stop being quiet and thinking it doesn't affect me, because it's about to affect you. And I can't understand how he was able to double young black men when he's trying to put you in prison, and they have now prison programs where they talk call giving you a work release where you can go home on the weekend, but yet you're still a prisoner. You can go home on the weekends and you can work while you're at home. And guess what you get for your pay? 30% of your labor. The rest of it go back to the prison. That's why they made prisons now more private businesses than state-owned prisons. They only get 30% of their money. The rest of it go back to the prison and to the state. That's Governor Ivey. Yeah, I called her name. And the church said nothing. But Jesus, when he pulled his group of men together, before he pulled them together, he prayed to God. And the Bible said he prayed all night long, because he understood the importance of there being DEI. He understood what this would mean in the future that was to come. So when he called men to be with him, he didn't call men who were Pharisees or Sadducees and lawyers. He called men of diverse groups who were fishermen and tradesmen. And then he even went as far as to call one that they considered to be a sinner, a tax collector. Not realizing that all of us are sinners. But he called unto him a diverse group of men, some men who were businessmen, some men who were just men who would receive blessings from their family and lived according to their inheritance because they were rich. He even called men who wanted to overthrow the government. In other words, he didn't call just one group of people. He called a diverse group of people, because he understood the need for us to be diverse in our thinking, diverse in our backgrounds, diverse in our ideas. That's why when we say we're running together. There's no way in the world we can do all of this with one person's ideas. Diversity is needed. Diversity is important enough for us to fight for. Diversity is not just about people who we don't meet or people who we don't feel good about. Diversity is actually also about you. Because now there are structured things where they can come and fire you, and you can go and try to fight it and have nothing to stand on. That's why I love Costco. I loved them before now, but I sure enough love them now. That's my favorite store. My wife will tell you, if she let me go there, I'll spend $500 on just meats. Because I love Costco and I love their meat. It's got the best quality meat in Montgomery if you haven't been there. But they understand that it's important for us to be diverse. And then they went as far as to making sure that they took care of their employees. They're trying to raise their employees' wages at $30 an hour. Thank God for Costco. But we must understand that Jesus knew that that was important for us to be diverse, important for us to come together as a melting pot to make these things work. If we think with just only one person's ideas, if we think we're just one person's concepts, then guess what we are? We are a racist group, because we're not considering anyone else. No one else but yourself. But God told us not to be those people. He told us to love our neighbors, who are also considered to be strangers in the Bible, which means these are people you do not know. He said, be careful how you treat them. He said, because how you treat them is how you treat me. He says, for when you get to heaven and you stand before God in the day of judgment, you're going to ask him, well, Father, how have I treated you? He said, when I stood before you and I was in need, you didn't give me food to eat. When I needed clothes, you didn't give me clothes to put on my back. And he says, they'll ask, well, Father, when did we do these things? When you did it to the least of them. DEI is only protecting the people who are the least of them. There used to be a time when the church protected those same people. It's time to get back. It's time for us to be more vocal. It's time for us to stop being quiet. Time for us to stop being comfortable. It's time for us to get out. It's time for us to be a part of the battle. It's time for us to move God's plan forward. And church, we can do it. Even in the midst of all this confusion, we can do it. Let me say that one more time. In the midst of all this confusion, in the midst of all this trouble, we can do it. As long as God is in front of us and we're following him, there's nothing that we can't do. He shared with us in his word. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, he said this, to confirm what I'm telling you. He said, if my people, that's conditional, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins. And then he said what? I will heal their land. Church, the Bible says that God hears the prayers of the righteous. Not only do we need to pray silently, but we need to pray out loud. Because what you must understand, prayer is simply communication with God. It is simply you talking to God. If you want to fight, fight with prayer. Communicate. Because even when you're talking to people and you're talking through the Spirit of God, you're praying because you're communicating with God. Time for us to stop being quiet. Time for us to stop being comfortable. Black people, wake up. They trying to say we woke. We ain't woke yet. I know we're not because we're not saying anything. We're not woke yet. It's time to wake up. And I know I'm being a little long today, but I don't care. Because this needs to be said. It's time for us to stop being quiet, stop being comfortable and saying, well, that don't bother me. That may affect Pookie now. But guess what? You got a Pookie in your family. It's time for us to stop being quiet, sitting on the sideline, but not seeing anything. DEI is what God intended for us to have in the church. So to fight DEI is not biblical. DEI is biblical. Because God didn't put stipulation on who the people were that were going into the body. But he said that we are all different. But we all make up one body. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of my father's house are open if there be one. The time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time when God cannot be found. The doors of my father's house are now open. Oh, gentle Savior.
Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. We ask now the officer to come for the purpose of our communion. As they come, I ask that you evaluate yourself to make sure that you do not drink nor eat from this holy table unworthily. The way you do that is make sure you don't have aught with your brothers and your sisters. For the Bible shares with us that if we have aught with others, which means we have not forgiven them of their transgressions against us, then how can we ask him for our transgressions against him? So while I pray aloud, I ask that you pray silently, that there be nothing in you to keep you from eating or drinking from this table, because as we've stated before, eating and drinking from this table unworthily can cause death. The Bible said that some of us have gone to sleep, and some of us have even died because we have not eaten and we have not drunk a drink. I can't even talk today. We have not had a drink from this table that's worthy of us. I'm sorry, of him. So make sure that when you eat and drink from this table, that you are eating and drinking from this table worthily. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now to ask that you be with us, that you keep us, Master. Ask that you allow us to eat from this table, allow us to drink from this table worthily. For, Master, eating from this table and drinking from this table is detrimental to our souls. And we pray, Master, that we allow you to have rule over us in this ceremony. In other words, Master, allow us to lay transparent before you. And we ask that if there is anything that's in us that's not like you, that you remove it from us, so that we do not drink damnation nor eat damnation unto our souls. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let our hearts say amen. know it was the blood saved me. One day when I was lost, and Jesus died upon the cross, I know it was the blood for me. Blood came streaming down, the blood came streaming down, the blood came streaming down for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross, I know it was the blood for me. Jesus died upon the cross, I know it was the blood for me. Amen. Our Father God, we come now asking that as we prepare to leave this place, that you watch over, protect us, and keep us until your Son, Jesus Christ, bring us back into this place where you had chosen to place your name. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.